Bandwidth for the Tech Guy on KFI Podcast is brought to you by DSL Extreme at DSLExtreme.com. Hi, this is Leo Laporte, the Tech Guy on KFI, and this is my KFI Podcast. The show you're about to hear originally aired on Sunday, May 28th, 2006, on KFI AM 640 in Los Angeles. The first hour is truncated. We didn't have a copy of it, but you'll hear hour two and three on this podcast. This is show 252.
May 28th, 2006. KFI is the talk station that does live local news on the hour, on the half, and when it breaks. At 12:06, I'm Jessica Rosenthal, KFI News.
Leo Laporte, the tech guy, KFI, AM 640, more stimulating talk radio. We're taking your calls, talking high tech till 2 o'clock today. Dr. Dean Adell will be here if you want to know more about the things I talked about, including links to the programs I mentioned, like RoboForm. You'll find that on the show notes page. That's every single show has its own page with notes. You can make comments. So that they actually, the great thing about those pages, they get richer and richer over time as people add stuff. I find it really a useful resource. So you can get to the show notes page very simply. You go to KFI's website, KFIAM640.com. And under the shows menu, you'll find my name, Leo Laporte. Click that. That takes you to my page on the KFI site and the official website link, third site down under my picture. Did I say this was simple? Maybe not. Third site down under my picture, it says official website. That's where you want to go. You know what? I'll give you the shortcut. They get mad at me when I do this, but it's just leo.am. That's a lot simpler. Leo.am. Visit the KFI website anyway, because, you know, it's good to do that. But then, you know, leo.am is where the show notes are. This is, just click the Sunday show 251, and you'll find all the notes from this particular radio program on there. Now, let's take another call here. Who's been hanging on the longest? It's Martha in Placentia. You've been hanging on a long time. Hi, Martha. Welcome to KFI.
Thank you.
Thank you for calling.
I need to buy a new computer, okay. And I've been told by my computer friends to buy a dual core.
Oh, you have geeky computer friends.
Yeah, I do.
I can tell just the way they talk. They're probably right. That's the newest Intel chip.
And so if I'm going to invest in a new computer, I just as well do that.
You know, you almost always want to buy the latest, greatest, just because this stuff gets obsolete so fast anyway.
Yes.
That it gives you a little bit of future-proofing. And Intel's been pretty aggressive right now in price. You don't pay more for a dual core, pretty much. I mean, the only reason you'd pay less for anything else is because they're trying to get rid of it.
Yeah,
so I think a dual core is a good way to go. Now, is it overkill for you? Possibly. It's a pretty fast computer. What you're going to get is effectively a computer with two chips in it running at 2 gigahertz or faster. That's a lot of processing power. That's a little supercomputer on your desktop. What do you do, Martha, with your computer?
Well, email and genealogy programs, and then right. I use Microsoft Word.
Yeah. None of this is very challenging.
You know, nothing fancy.
Yeah. So the truth is, why do you need to buy a new computer?
Oh, my other just crashed. I mean, it's about 8 years old.
Oh, yeah. It's time for a new one. Anything you could buy on the store today will be so much faster than yes. that computer. You will be, you know, your hair will be streaming back in the wind. Your ears will be pinned to your head from the speed. So it's going to seem so much faster, even if you've got the slowest computer on the market today. So I don't know if you need to buy a dual core. Where are you shopping?
Well, I checked with Dell.
That's the first place I'd go.
And then I also went to Circuit City.
Yep. That's fine.
I guess that's all I've done. I've looked on the web also.
Let me just look. I want to go to Dell.com here, and we're looking at, you don't want a laptop, you want a desktop?
No, I do not want a laptop. I want a desktop.
Okay. So let's see, you know, the basic entry-level PCs, which is frankly enough for you, they have the Celeron D processor, which is not a super fast processor, but again, it's going to be 20 times faster than your old computer. And these prices start at $272. I mean, I don't know if you need to spend a lot more. Look at the Dimension E310, for instance. Now, this is a 2.66 gigahertz Celeron D. Celeron is Intel's budget processor, and it's basically the same as the dual core. It's just crippled a little bit, just so that you will have, you know, most people will want to buy more. It's got a lot of RAM. It's got a 160 gigabyte hard drive. How much did your old computer have? Probably one or two, right?
I have no idea.
Yeah, it was a lot smaller. It comes with a flat panel display, 17-inch display. It's got a CD DVD recorder, which is good for backup. I think that's a good thing to get. Warranty is 1 year. You get 1 year at home service, which is always good. $600. I think that's all you need, to be honest with you. Your friends are going to try to spend, get you to spend twice that.
Yeah, about $1,420.
Yeah. And, you know, I don't think, Martha, to be honest with you, you're going to see much difference.
Okay.
Just because you're not doing, if you're playing Quake 4 or Battlefield 1942, that's different. But you're not.
No.
And anything you get is going to be a lot faster than what you got.
All right.
So I would look for a flat panel.
Yes, because of the space.
Space, and it's easier on the eyes. It just looks better.
Okay.
I would look for a big hard drive because you'd be amazed at how you can fill those things up nowadays with music and pictures and all sorts of stuff, especially pictures.
Are
you,
pictures,
you do,
yes.
Do you do digital photography at all?
Well, I get pictures of the grandchildren.
Oh, sure. So why, you know, you don't ever want to be put in the position where you have to erase even one of those.
Yes.
So get a big hard drive. They're cheap. You want 512?
Does that come with the E310?
Everything I just described, yeah. It's a 160 gigabyte hard drive. That's massive.
Okay.
You got 512 megs of RAM, which is plenty for you. You know, geeks will say, oh, no, you need a gigabyte. You don't need a gigabyte. You're fine with 512. And I'm, by the way, I'm not, I am not doing you a disservice in any way here. I'm not saying, oh, she doesn't need that. This is good. This is what you're getting here is pretty good.
Okay.
I would say that's, you know, that's a decent system, the E310. You could even go a little bit lower if you wanted, but I like having... Let's see, what do you get? If you go down to the B110, which is $500.
Well, that's processors, only 100 different.
Yeah, the processor's a little bit slower, not much. Monitor's smaller. I like the 17-inch display for you, I think. A big display is a good idea.
Okay.
Yeah, spend the $100, get the big display.
I think it's worth that.
I think it is worth that. And I think this is going to be plenty fast enough. If you're worried at all about it, go to Circuit City or CompUSA or Best Buy and just play with... You know, look for one with a Celeron D in it. That's the lower end processor. And play with it and see if you feel like, oh my, this is slow.
Uh-huh.
I guarantee you won't.
All right.
Okay.
Thank you so much.
My pleasure. I appreciate your calling. And I really don't think, you know, your friends are trying to, as I said at the beginning, they're trying to, you know, future-proof you, get the latest, greatest. But after you describe what you're doing, I don't think you really need to go all out. Computers today are so much faster than they ever were before. If you had a computer, 8-year-old computer, this is going to be lightning fast. Marlene Riverside, KFI, AM 640, more stimulating talk radio. Hello. Hi, Marlene. Are you there?
Yes.
Welcome to KFI.
I have a question. Hi, Leo. I have a question about pictures. Actually,
okay.
I have or had perhaps some pictures on Kodak EasyShare.
Yeah.
And... one day I went to look at them, and looking right at them, all of a sudden they just faded. And
what?
Question marks on them.
Oh, no.
And so I read something about a pathway being broken or something, and I went and searched under JPEG, and I can't find them, but the faded image is still there. And if I turn the computer off and go back to it, it pops up nice, bright pictures, and then they fade again.
Whoa! Okay, now you're blowing my mind, Marlene. Okay, now wait a minute. Let me understand this. You see the picture.
Correct.
On the screen.
Correct.
And then before your very eyes, the thing fades away and
they
disappears?
Just fade to a very, you know, faded image with a question mark. And so I was wondering...
Oh, my goodness. That's an interesting thing.
How do
I think what
things?
Happened here... One of the things Windows does, you're looking at the either the film strip view or you're looking at the thumbnail view.
Okay.
One of the things Windows does is it caches the image.
Uh-huh.
What are you looking at it in Windows or are you running a program looking at it?
It's actually in Kodak EasyShare.
Oh, it's in the EasyShare program.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So I think here's what's happening. Is EasyShare keeps a cache of the image in its memory.
Mm-hmm.
Not a high quality version by any means, just enough for a little icon.
Okay.
And when you open it, it looks for the image. Well, now what happens is it's showing you the icon and then it says, well, I can't find the image. So it fades it out and puts a question mark saying, I don't see the image anymore. So the question is, so it's telling you that the images have either been moved or deleted.
Even though I can initially see them.
What you're seeing is not the image. You're seeing it's recorded memory of the image, and it's a low quality. I mean, it's not the full size, is it?
No.
No, it's a little, what it is, it's a thumbnail
like
that it generated.
Yeah,
it generated that. It keeps that. That's all it's got, though. It doesn't have the full image. And the reason it's faded it out is it actually is trying to find it. So it doesn't fade it out right away. It's saying, and by the time it figures out, I can't find it, then it fades it out because it doesn't want you to think you still have that image.
I have, this leads to another question because I heard you say something about system restore. And actually, someone at work mentioned that, and they said
the bad news about system restore is it doesn't restore data.
Oh.
So the real question is, what happened to these pictures?
Correct.
Did you delete them? Did you do anything? Did you move stuff around?
I probably moved something around. I didn't delete those pictures.
In all likelihood, they're there then. It just means that stupid program can't figure out where. So the trick is you've got to find them.
Hmm.
Now, that's going to be a little tricky. You got to use Windows and start searching for JPEG images. And if you moved them around, if you put them in a different folder, EasyShare isn't smart enough to find them.
Hmm.
So, and this is a little tricky. Do you have you either are going to do some exploring on your own, or you're going to have a friend or a technician or somebody look for them. But if you didn't delete them, if you didn't actually drag them to the trash.
No, not those.
And you
pictures.
Wouldn't do that. No, these are precious pictures. So it's much more likely. I mean, the other question is, were these pictures on a card, a video card, or were they on your hard drive? Were they on a flash card from a camera?
Yeah, I think we downloaded those straight from the camera.
See, could be a problem. If you didn't download them, but you were looking at them in the camera, that would have the same impact.
I think we downloaded them from the camera onto EasyShare.
Okay.
So they were there at one point, but now they're not.
Well, they'd be there. They might be there if the camera's hooked up, right? And then if you unhook the camera, they might disappear. So if you still have the camera, you could re-download the images. If you've erased that memory.
Yeah, I don't think they're on the SD card anymore. That's the problem.
Yeah, all right. So if you've erased the memory, then what we're going to hope is you downloaded them. And then what I'm worried about is, well, why doesn't it see them if you didn't move them?
Mm-hmm.
Does it give you a file name in the icon? Does it show you the name of the file?
I just have dial-up, so right now I'm not on the computer. But I tried opening the computer, going to search, and searching
See, that's the
JPEG.
Question is, where is it? Is it online? Is it on your hard drive?
Yeah.
So you have searched for JPEGs.
Correct.
And you don't see it.
Find those pictures. And then I let it search for hidden pictures. And I didn't realize there were that many things on my computer.
You find a lot of JPEGs.
I didn't find those pictures.
So, I'm scared now. Now, the other possibility is that did you think you uploaded them?
Oh, I can't. To something else?
To EasyShare. No, I'm wondering if you uploaded them to EasyShare, to their website, because they have a website, that where you can put those pictures.
Now, I hadn't even thought of that. I didn't upload them, but
well,
I can recall.
Yeah. Boy, if you've looked for the pictures and you can't find them anywhere,
mm-hmm.
I would go online. It may also be that they're online and they're not on your computer, and the EasyShare software put them online. So I would, after you get off the phone here, I would log in to EasyShare, get online, and see if they're there and hope that they are. Because if they're not online and you've searched your hard drive, they might be gone, Marlene. I hate
to
say it. That would be terrible.
Delete them. I might have, as they said, broken some sort of path, but then you'd think, I don't know enough.
Error means is I can't find them.
Oh, okay.
It means this is where they were, and that's gone.
Okay.
So you've searched the hard drive and you're pretty sure they're not there. Then your last best bet is that you maybe uploaded them to the EasyShare website.
Okay.
Otherwise, I think they might be gone.
Okay.
I'm sorry, Marlene.
Well, thank you so much for your help.
Yeah, that's what it's telling you is I don't see it. And the reason you see the fading image is because it did know about it at one time, but it no longer does. Leo Laporte, the tech guy, KFI, AM 640. More stimulating talk radio.
Mm-hmm. KFI News, fueled by the worldwide resources of Fox News. KFI AM 640.
Leo Laporte, the tech guy, KFI AM 640, more stimulating talk radio. I'm feeling so bad for Marlene right now, our last caller before the break. You know, the problem with programs like Easy Share, Kodak's making it easy, right? But then if something goes wrong, it's suddenly hard. And one thing I wish they did better is make backups. We are now storing on our hard drives the most precious things, the pictures and the videos from our lives. You know, you had them in a photo album. You have them. There's physical copies. And, you know, yeah, maybe you could lose them, I get. But in a computer, it's so darn easy to lose these things. And it just sounds like it got lost. And what I really like is for Easy Share to have a one-button backup or, I mean, I guess they do. I mean, they want you to upload it to the website. You know, I think it's gone. I hate to say it, but I think they're gone. Terrible, terrible news. You've searched the drive for the JPEG file. You can't find anything by that name. Look online. If it's not online, boy, you know. And for those of us who are doing this, it is so important. Back up those pictures. Anything can happen. Hard drives die. They will die eventually. I don't think that's what's happened to Marlene, but a lot of things go wrong. And one of them that you absolutely have no control over is the hard drive itself can fail. And if it does, that's your only copy. Boy, you're out of luck. Or you're spending lots of money trying to recover it. So it's backup, boy, especially when it comes to your pictures and your precious items, boy. We're going to take a break for news. I will be back with more of your calls in just a little bit. I am Leo Laporte, the tech guy, KFI AM 640, more stimulating talk radio.
KFI News.
News on the hour, on the half, and when it breaks.
I'm Jessica Rosenthal in the KFI News Center. The Indonesian government has declared a 3-month state of emergency. Thousands of people have lost everything. 80% of the homes in the town of Bantul were flattened after a 6.3 earthquake hit the region yesterday.
Mother Nature once again whacking Indonesia. We were here just about a year and a half ago to see what happened after the tsunami and the earthquake that hit a bit up the coast from where we are in Yogyakarta on this main island of Java. We are here back, and the casualty figures are overwhelming.
Fox News reporter Greg Palcott says many earthquake survivors now face the risk of disease. There are torrential rains there now. More than 4,300 people were killed. Thousands more were injured. Hospitals are overflowing, and many people have spent the night sleeping on the streets. KFI's The Talk Station with the most frequent traffic reports presented by Lexus dealers. Crash in Orange. Kirk Lewis in the KFI Traffic Center.
It's on the 22 west past the 55. A car hit a mattress, now blocking the right lane. Traffic slow heading away from the 55. Past that, a new crash in Garden Grove, 22 west before Harbor Boulevard. It's a two-car crash blocking the fast lane traffic a little slow for about a half mile back. Pomona 10 west connector road to the 57 south. A pickup truck hauling a trailer and the trailer overturned. It's blocking the beginning of the connector road. Traffic a little slow from Fairplex. Universal City 101 north at Universal Center Drive. It's a traffic advisory. Very heavy traffic heading into Universal Studios and heading out of Castaic 5 north before Templin Highway. Sigler brush fire burning in the area. Fire trucks blocking up the left lane. It's slow from the Newhall Pass. That's traffic on KFI.
News brought to you by Porsche. KFI News Time, 12:30. A paramedic has been injured in Lancaster when the ambulance he was in was hit by a car. A man in a 1995 Ford smacked into the ambulance after failing to yield at an intersection. The ambulance was responding to an emergency call. The paramedic was taken to a hospital with minor injuries, along with several other people who were involved in the accident. The U.S. Minutemen are back along the Arizona-Mexico border building a fence. Republican candidate for governor in Arizona, Don Goldwater, showed up to give his support, and he says lawmakers in Washington should listen to the people.
I have a message for Congress. Read my lips. No more amnesty. Yeah!
The group is installing a combination of barbed wire, razor wire, and steel rail barriers along a 10-mile stretch of the border. And a new survey shows middle and working class Americans signed up for high speed internet access in record numbers over the past year. Among U.S. households with incomes between $30,000 and $50,000, broadband adoption increased 59%. Among people making less than that, broadband increased 40%. And among African Americans, it went up 121%. Overall, 42% of adult Americans now have broadband. We'll check the forecast and have much more Leo Laporte next. KFI News Time, 12:32.
I hope you're sitting down, folks, because not only is DSL Extreme offering the lowest price in the nation for high-speed internet, and I've mentioned this before, $12.95 a month, they've sweetened the deal. I don't know how you could make it any better. Now you get the first month free. I don't know how they do it. DSL Extreme high-speed internet, $12.95 a month already, the lowest price ever, and your first month is free. Now, I don't have to convince you that high-speed internet's the way to go. I mean, for downloading music and movies and television shows, for surfing the net, no matter what, everything is better on high-speed. And if you've avoided it because you thought it was too expensive, now it's less than dial-up in many cases. AOL dial-up is twice as much. I am a DSL Extreme customer. I love it. I use it, and I recommend it. No spam. You get rid of that second phone line. You probably save money, and you get high-speed internet from the best in the business for just $12.95 a month. So let me give you the number, because this is a limited-time offer, and I know some restrictions apply. So call 866-2-GET-NET right now, 866-2-GET-NET. You can also sign up online. Check the availability in your area. DSLExtreme.com is the website. 866-2-GET-NET to get high-speed internet for the lowest price in the nation, $12.95 a month, and get the first month free only from DSL Extreme.
Straight Shooters, John and Ken, tomorrow 3 to 7, KFI AM 640.
Leo Laporte, the tech guy, KFI AM 640, more stimulating talk radio. Cookie in Valencia. Hello, Cookie. Welcome to KFI.
Hi, Leo. Thank you.
Thanks for calling.
I've been trying to call for a couple weeks, actually. I have a couple of questions.
Yes.
The first one is, all of a sudden, when I right-click on my desktop to make a new folder,
yes,
my computer freezes up. I can make folders in my documents or anywhere else, but I can't do it on the desktop.
This happens a lot with Windows, and what's happening is you have this right-click menu is what they call a contextual menu or a context-sensitive menu. It changes, the contents of it change depending on what you're right-clicking on. And I bet you can go some places and the right-click works fine. The problem is programs can add items to this menu. And unfortunately, if a program crashes or is buggy or, you know, doesn't work right and adds something to your menu, what Windows does when you right-click on something is it actually looks in its registry to see, well, what am I supposed to pop up here?
Mm-hmm.
And there may be some menu items added by programs you've recently installed. It sometimes even calls that program to populate that menu. For instance, if you have if you install WinZip, it will populate a WinZip menu with items that you're looking at in a zip file. So what happens frequently is a bad program or a misinstalled program or a crashed program has modified your right-click menu.
Mm-hmm.
You do a right-click, and it's crashing on you. And that's why what's happening is your computer is stopping when you right-click.
Because when you right-click, the window or the little thing does come up, and it gives you the options, but then
it's frozen.
It's frozen, right.
It's frozen. So I would look at that menu and see what's not normal in there. You know, in the normal right-click menu, there aren't very many items. There's cut, copy, create shortcut, properties, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
You'll look at those entries. There's going to be a program in there.
Mm-hmm.
That's something you installed.
Okay.
And there are a couple of things you can do. One is uninstall that program.
Mm-hmm.
You can, if you're handy with a registry edit and you know editor and you don't mind going to your registry, I don't recommend this for anybody, but the most experienced users, you can go in there and change the items in your right-click menus.
I'm not that.
Yeah, that's not something. It's not something even maybe that I would attempt. Best thing you can do is most likely a success would be to uninstall those programs that show up in that pop-up menu.
Okay.
Now, the workaround is you can do things that anything that's in that pop-up menu you can do without right-clicking. Are there things you want to do in that menu that you...
Just make folders.
Make folders,
You know, I do a lot of stuff where at work and whatever I want to
sure.
just make an immediate folder, store everything in there,
sure.
and then go back to what I'm doing.
So you can always make a folder from the Explorer menu.
Mm-hmm.
So if you are in a folder or you want to be in the desktop, let's say, do you want to make it on the desktop? open, just double click my computer and open that window and then choose the desktop. You know, there's that little drop down menu. You can choose the desktop. Mm-hmm. And then you can always make a new folder by clicking File, New Folder. So that will bypass, I mean, this is only a workaround. This is not a fix. It'll bypass that right click problem.
Oh, okay. So I have to get out of the habit of doing it.
Yeah, well, I use right click on the, it's a good habit. That the right click is very handy because it knows, it's smart. It knows where you are, knows what you're right clicking on, and gives you choices that are appropriate. That's why it's called a contextual or context sensitive menu. The problem is Microsoft allows programs to add to that menu. And what's happened is something has been added to that menu that's crashing your computer. So you have to look at that menu that's popping up when it's crashing. There's a clue in there.
Oh, okay.
Figure out what that program is and then uninstall that sucker if you can. And that may just get rid of it. That's, you know, that will, as part, if it uninstalls itself properly. Now, it may not because it's broken, but if it uninstalls itself properly, it'll uninstall that right click item as well.
And then go back to normal, I hope.
Everything should go back to normal. Now, if it doesn't, there's other possibilities like spyware.
Yeah.
Do you have an anti-spyware program?
I have like four. I have AOBot, Good. Adware,
okay.
All that
then.
Stuff.
All right. So you're. Okay. I always ask that question because you know, people don't know about that.
Yeah.
And sometimes people have, when you get weird things like this, sometimes it's just spyware. Because spyware is so badly written that it can cause these. Did you recently install a program of some kind?
I'm always installing programs.
There you go. So some shareware possible. Program or something you installed.
Yeah.
Added something. And by the way, this seems to be a very vulnerable area in Windows. This, I've heard this question a lot.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
This is the first time it's happened to me, and I've had computers forever.
Yeah, right. It's just, you know, that's so if you've used computers for a long time, you understand that you can, when something is added to that right-click menu, it gets enumerated. Windows goes through the enumeration. It's in its registry. It says, okay, what do I have to put in this menu? It goes through there and says, oh, I have to add, you know, badly written program. Let me see here. Okay, I'm going to add badly written program. Oh, it has to go out and look at some stuff. Let me run it. Hey, badly written program, what do you want me to put in here? And then it dies. So it's that badly written program. That's the bad actor.
Thank you.
Sure.
Can I ask you a quick, another, I won't say quick, another question?
quick. If it's not quick, don't say quick. Yes, you can.
Okay. My Palm Pilot croaked. And so I decided if I'm going to spend the money, I might as well buy one of those little handheld computers because they seem a lot more convenient and everything. And I've been looking at them, and they're, the two that I've seen are HP and Dell. And I wondered if you had any suggestions.
I like both of them. The Dell Axim is a little bit more reasonably priced than the iPac, but the iPac is prettier, a lot prettier. If you've looked at them, I think you'll agree.
Yeah.
The Axim's clunky looking.
Oh, okay.
But other than that, they're the same. You know, they're all running Windows. That's a special version of Windows. Windows Mobile 5 is the latest. They all do pretty much the same thing. The big difference is, besides, you know, design and price, because internally they're even the same processors. Mm-hmm. The bigger difference is does it have Wi-Fi? Does it have Bluetooth? You know, what kinds of additional capabilities? Does it have two card slots, for instance? I like that, where you have a compact flash and an SD, or, you know, that's handy. So it depends what you want to do with it. Yeah, I would suggest you want Wi-Fi. You may want Bluetooth. It makes it easier to sync it up to things.
So those are two different things. One is for getting online. The other is for syncing to other
Precisely.
Computers.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Wi-Fi is for networking, and Bluetooth is for basically eliminating cables. So you don't have to have a sync cable.
Well, I need a cable like to download it from my home computer because it's not wireless. My home computer is not wireless.
If you don't have Bluetooth on your home computer, you're right. Then it doesn't matter. Although it's cheap and easy to add Bluetooth. It's just a USB dongle that you plug in.
Okay.
It's, you know, Bluetooth is of mixed blessing. I don't know if you need Bluetooth. I would suggest Wi-Fi because then that thing becomes, you know, you go to a Starbucks, you can surf.
Yeah, if you have singular.
T-Mobile, yeah, but you can
T-Mobile,
pay by the day.
Right.
Yeah, you can pay by the day.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
One of the HP ones that I looked at, I think it was the most expensive one. It had,
of course,
took two different flash cards.
Yeah, see, I like that feature, and that was one of the things I was talking about. It can do compact flash and SD, and that's handy for a couple of reasons. One is there are I/O cards you can stick in there. So you can expand the capabilities of using one slot, and that still gives you a second slot for memory.
Oh, I see.
But, again, it depends what you're doing, Cookie. I mean, you may be spending money on stuff you never use. So,
yeah,
as
I
always
do.
Yeah, well, so do I, believe me. So, as always, you kind of want to think about, well, how am I going to use this before you decide what features to buy?
Right.
The bottom line on your question is both Dell and iPac, those are both great.
Mm-hmm.
The iPac looks nicer, but really they're very similar in many ways. So
okay.
I don't think you need to choose the brand first. I think you need to choose the functions first.
Okay. Well, thank you. I appreciate it very much.
My pleasure. Thank you for calling. I appreciate it. Take care. Have a good day. Oh, my goodness. We are moving along, aren't we? Getting through this day, this Memorial Day weekend. I hope you're having a good one. Dr. Dean Adell coming up at 2 o'clock. Then it's who's on at 3? I don't know. I don't remember. Well, we'll find out together, won't we? I'm Leo Laporte, the tech guy on KFI. I'll check and I'll get back to you on KFI AM. I'm sure there's a program schedule here somewhere. Let me see. KFI AM 640, more stimulating talk radio.
Bill Handel, tomorrow, 5 to 9.
KFI, AM 640.
KFI, AM 640, more stimulating talk radio. Leo Laporte, the tech guy on KFI, taking your calls, answering your questions, talking about anything with a chip in it. Richard is on the line from Monrovia. You're next on KFI. Hello, Richard. Welcome.
Hi, Leo. How you doing?
I'm great. Thanks for hanging in there.
Not a problem. A couple of times I've heard you start to talk about network storage drives, but then you tend to just say, nobody really needs them right now, and you know, for the home user and stuff like that.
Well, I don't think I've said that. I think they actually are a useful. The idea being you have a centralized hard drive that you can store stuff on from a number of different computers.
Right, right. The one I'm thinking of offhand is the Buffalo Terabyte.
Mm-hmm.
And that thing is cool.
I agree.
NT 4.9.
Yep.
It supports Apple Talk. It does all kinds of things. And it's got self-sensing switches in it, too.
Right. So I think they're very useful. We actually reviewed this. It's called NAS, or Network Attached Storage.
Right.
And I believe we reviewed the Buffalo on Tech TV. I think we liked it quite a bit. It's a good unit. So here's the deal on that. It's good if you need it.
Uh-huh.
And if you need it, you know you need it. So who needs it? Well, people who have many computers and, for instance, have a music library or a photo library that they want to access from multiple computers, or have many computers and they want to make it easy to back up. Now, remember, you're backing up over the net, so it's not as fast as a FireWire direct external drive would be.
But right.
You can do it unattended and, you know, have it automatically run once in a while. You know, they originated in business, but now I think they're widely used by people because we all have big home networks now. They're also really useful for people who want to have centralized home entertainment.
Exactly. I set one up for my brother-in-law down in San Diego, and they do a lot of things. I mean, he's got,
oh, so you have some you've actually set these up, so you have some experience.
Oh, yeah. And they're just great. In fact, I switched and went to the MIMO backup system.
That's nice. That's a lot faster, isn't it? Yeah.
Yes, it's not only a lot faster, it's unattended. Nobody has to think about anything.
Right.
The minute they turn their PCs on, it starts backing up files.
Right. I mean, you're really getting close now to an enterprise setup, like a business setup, where you have this centralized hard drive and all the systems are automatically backed up to it. Does that software, the Mimio software, come with the TerraStation?
They give you a shareware version.
Okay.
And from the shareware version, I really get attached to it. I mean, it's cheap. It's like $30 a station.
It's probably worth doing.
That
solves that problem that we were talking about with Marlene, where, you know, she's lost her pictures That's a great thing to set up for somebody like that. Now, it doesn't make sense if you only have one computer. But if
no.
you have a more elaborate network where you have multiple computers, it makes a lot of sense. If you have a family with kids and computers, I mean, that's a great idea.
Yeah, that's what I've got down in San Diego. I've got a family.
How big is the hard drive that you set up for him?
Terabyte.
Oh, man. Wow.
Well, it's Leo, this family, each kid has an iPod with 40 gigs in it.
Right.
They've got TVs around the house. They've got TiVo. They've got Rapid Replay. They're moving movies around the house.
They're pretty sophisticated. Wow. Now,
not really. They like entertainment.
Right. I think they're the prototypical modern family. I mean, that is what's going on today. And it's one of the reasons I'm so dead set against copy protection is because that eliminates all of this flexibility. You know, you're very, very limited in what you can do. And I think people really want to be able to get their media and then just put it anywhere they want. I think that's a sensible way to do it. Does this have any particular multimedia capabilities?
It supports podcasting.
So it can download podcasts?
Yeah.
Wow. Wow. That's neat. That's
yeah,
really
and it comes set up with RAID 5. So
does it have BitTorrent capability? I guess you could run that on a computer and have it automatically copied over there, because then, man, you could download television shows, put them on the server and watch them anywhere in the house.
That's what I was going to try to figure out next. I'm looking forward to getting your TiVo book so that I can, because they've got Rapid Replay and they've got TiVo in the house.
Oh, man. Now, TiVo's a little harder. Replay will do that. Replay is designed for attaching to a network and copying files around.
Uh-huh.
And that's one of the reasons Replay basically got put out of business. Denon and Marantz bought them and is keeping them alive. But frankly, the movie companies hate that. They really hate that. They want copy protection because they don't want you to be, you know, doing anything you want with their files.
Well, their problem with their TiVo is it's combined with their DirecTV,
yeah.
so they don't even have network access.
It's very well, right, and it's going to be very hard to get data off of that. They encrypt it. They do everything they can to keep you from doing that. I think what that's going to end up doing is people are going to be driven away from proprietary solutions like TiVo, and they're going to start rolling their own things like Myth TV and so forth that allow them to build servers that download a record file TV shows or download them and then put them on a centralized server. You've got basically what you've got in there is a media server. You know, they used to talk about how Hugh Hefner wanted to be able to watch any show he wanted anytime he wanted. So he had a whole room with televisions and VCRs and a bunch of technicians taping every show. And then he could watch any show he wanted in the mansion by, he'd call downstairs and he'd say, put on Three's Company. And they put it on up there. Well, you don't have to be Hugh Hefner anymore to do that. You can have one of these servers running and downloading files and copying shows, and you can watch them anywhere you want. Leo Laporte, the tech guy, KFI, AM 640, more stimulating talk radio.
May 28, 2006.
Mostly clear tonight. We'll have lows in the 40s and 50s. And tomorrow, lots of sunshine, highs in the 70s at the coast, 80s for metro LA, Orange counties in the valleys. It's 72 in Irvine, 68 in Newport Beach, 70 in Santa Monica, and 70 in Glendale. KFI is the talk station that does live local news on the hour, on the half, and when it breaks. At 106, I'm Jessica Rosenthal, KFI News.
KFI, the tech guy on KFI, Leo Laporte, the tech guy, and taking your calls. And Melissa's in Corona Del Mar, and she's been very patient, and I'm really glad to talk to you. Hello, Melissa. Thank you for hanging on.
Mr. Laporte, thank you so much for taking my call.
Oh, please, don't call me Mr. It makes me feel so old.
Listen, I just want to tell you, I'm an admitted computer idiot, so I'm really hoping you can make this simple for me.
My specialty.
And I really appreciate your show. Thank you so much.
I'm a specialist in computer idiots.
Okay, good. My son has an iPod, and my husband has an iPod, and I just recently received one as a gift.
iPod family!
I know. I went to register my iPod on our computer, and I put in the disk that Apple gives you, you know, that they give you with the unit, and all of my husband's information popped up on that disk.
Oh. Okay. Keep going.
and so... Gosh, I hope he's not listening right now. But I deleted it and tried to put in my own, and it's not working.
Okay.
Now, do I have to go back and re-enter his stuff and re-enter mine? And am I going to have to do this every time I upload songs? Okay.
No. So each iPod is hooked up, is connected to its own iTunes, right? So when you, you can't have three iPods on one iTunes. Do you have multiple copies of iTunes?
You know what? We have two copies right now, but I want to be on my husband's copy.
Yeah, that's fine.
I have a separate list for my son, which I started unknowing that I could do you know, multiple iPods on one list.
Right.
But now that I know that, I want to be on my husband's list.
So basically what it'll do is it'll make a folder that'll be Melissa's music.
Correct.
And you put whatever you want in that folder. And then when you hook up your iPod, it syncs from that folder. When he hooks up his iPod, it syncs from his stuff.
Okay.
Now, what I'm hoping is you didn't erase his iPod.
No, his iPod wasn't connected to it.
Oh, good. Okay.
Mine was. It's just when right now I put in the disc just so I would have it up when I talk to you.
Yeah.
And it's asking me to choose the language. So you click on English, of course,
right,
because that's
right.
My primary.
That would be your language.
And then it comes
Chinese,
up.
Chinese would be so sorry. Okay. Yep. Believe me, people do that. And then you go, well, now what?
Okay, so I'm not that bad.
No, okay.
And so it starts running, and at first it asked me if I wanted to update, which I did that because
good.
I've listened to you, and you always say the latest version.
Yep.
And so I updated, but then all of my husband's information, all of John's stuff came up.
It's copied over there.
I'm sorry?
Oh, go ahead. Keep going. I'm sorry. I shouldn't have interrupted you.
That's okay. All of his information came up, like with his serial number and so forth.
On your iPod?
On the registration page.
Oh, don't worry about that.
Okay, but don't I have to get my iPod registered in order for the computer to recognize it?
No. That's just so Apple can harass you with email.
Oh, okay. I thought I had to have it registered in order to...
And by the way, you can fill out that form. It's just, you know, when you buy stuff, how they put the card in there?
Right. That's the same thing, only on the computer?
It's the same thing.
Oh,
and they say, fill this out. What do they want? They're putting you on a mailing list.
Okay.
Tell them you're Elmer Fudd.
Okay.
To give them nothing. Nothing.
Okay. They have my husband's information. They don't have mine. Not yet.
It doesn't matter. You will still be able to update. You'll still be able to do all that stuff. Don't worry about that.
Okay. So all I have to do then is so it should recognize my iPod as being different.
The first thing that'll happen once you get through all of this stuff, it'll say, hi, this is the second iPod. I'm going to make a folder called Melissa's Music.
Okay.
And from then on, you will sync up to Melissa's music.
Okay. Will it ask me that on iTunes or in the iPod install shield wizard?
No. Go. Okay. Once you've done all that iPod stuff, you'll never see that again. It's going to be in iTunes.
Okay.
And the issue is the only thing. This is what I was afraid. I had a vision. What can happen is if you are registered with one copy of iTunes, then you go over and use your son's computer.
Right.
It'll say, oh, I see this iPod is attached to another computer. You want me to erase everything and put your music on there?
Yeah, no, I didn't do that.
And if you say yes, then all your bye-bye.
Okay.
You get all your son's music.
Okay.
And I don't know how you feel about DJ Danger Mouse, but I don't think you want him on yours.
Okay.
So, but that's, you know, and by the way, that's not the end of the world because you just bring your iPod back to your computer. It'll say the same thing and you say yes and it'll copy your music back on.
Okay.
That's the registration stuff.
We've already installed iTunes in QuickTime. I don't have to do that again.
Nope.
It's done. Okay.
Done.
Okay. Excellent. Thank you so much for your help.
So what kind did you get?
That was actually painless.
Yeah. See?
He got me the iPod Nano for Mother's Day. He's very good to me this year.
Isn't that a nice? They're so pretty and cute and little.
Yeah, I'm so excited.
Yeah.
It's just because we got all the hookups for the car.
Oh, great.
So this will be wonderful. Especially
it's a revolution. I mean, where people really have now personal music that they carry with
really
them everywhere.
Nice.
It's just your stuff. You
right.
It's great for working out or for driving. And you might want to look at, I don't know, do you ever listen to podcasts or audiobooks or anything like that?
You know, I haven't. I actually I logged onto my computer and I was listening to some of the show that was currently on. But that's even the first time I've even logged on to KFI through the computer.
Right.
So I was searching for your phone.
Well, and you can download all of my shows from my website. But I mean, that's the smallest part of it. You can buy books on tape. I listen to Da Vinci Code on my iPod.
And if
you have a long commute, it's a lifesaver because you can get, you know, on that iPod, on that Nano, you can get 20 books on there.
Is
plus your
right?
music. Oh, yeah. So okay, that's
well,
another thing you can get on
show,
iTunes.
At least then I'm learning something.
Yeah, there you go. Well, that's why podcasts are so great. There's a huge variety out there, and I agree. I listen to a lot of books on tape, but sometimes nonfiction, sometimes fiction.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Oh, anyway, you're just getting into this. This is a very exciting thing.
Yes, it is.
A lot of fun.
Little scary for those of us who don't know what we're doing, but I appreciate your help. Thank you
so much. Well, I'm not surprised. I don't know if you heard Marlene earlier today, but it's so easy for somebody to do one thing wrong, and it's a mystery, and everything goes wrong.
Right.
So I don't blame you, and I think you're right to ask. In this case, no harm.
Okay, great.
Thanks for the call.
Thank you so much, Leo.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
My pleasure. Leo Laporte, the tech guy on KFI AM 640, more stimulating talk radio. You know, I think it scares people, and I think the learning curve isn't as steep as it seems. So it's really, you know, you start doing this, and pretty soon you get very blasé. It's like driving. The first time, remember when you learned to drive? It's terrifying. And now do you even think about it? No. My son was 11 and starting to think about, oh, I can't wait to drive. He says, is it scary? I said, no. He said, are you nervous? You realize you're piloting a 3-ton piece of metal at 60 miles an hour down the road. I said, 60 miles? It's a 35-mile zone. Thank you. We're not nervous about that anymore. You get used to it. The computer's the same thing. Doesn't take long. Lisa in Irvine, welcome. KFI, Leo Laporte, the tech guy on KFI. Hello, Lisa.
Hi there.
Hello.
I have about 15 to 20 external hard drives. And
what?
Yes, I do.
Where'd you get them?
Well, mostly at the store, you know, like Micro Center or, yeah.
You mean
basically.
you've just been collecting these things?
Well, we use them for our business. They're filled with images, TIFF files.
Wow.
Yeah. And we actually probably have double that because we back each of them up.
Neat.
And they're all formatted for OS Mac Extended.
Okay.
And my question is, should we, and if we should, how do we defrag these drives?
No. You don't. Good news! Hallelujah! That's a PC thing. You don't have to do it on OS X.
You don't have to do it with the hard drives. No. We hook some of these hard drives up to our PCs.
That's fine. As long as you're using OS X journaled, the file system... Oh. By the way, you probably can't read them on your PC.
I use software to help me.
Oh, you use MediaForce Mac Play.
Mac Drive.
Yeah, Mac Drive.
It's MediaForce. Yeah.
Yeah.
But they're not... Oh, they're not journaled. I have OS Extended.
That's journaled.
Considered journaled?
But, yeah, but now, that it is true that you may now get some... that's a very interesting question. OS X itself, built into it, has all sorts of features trying to keep the drive from get fragmented. On the other hand, I don't know if Mac Drive does that. I bet it doesn't. So now, because you're essentially using Windows to maintain those drives, they can get fragmented.
Well, see, we go back and forth.
So the drives you're reading to and writing to exclusively on OS X, no, you don't have to. If you're mm-hmm. using them on Windows, they mm-hmm. can get fragmented. Now, are these large? They're large image files, photo files?
About 50 to 65 megabytes each.
Yeah, you don't have to worry about fragmentation.
Okay.
Because
even
they're such
when
big.
Write and rewrite on the drive?
Well, I guess if you do a lot of it, you might.
Okay. Well, that's good news.
Yeah. I mean, OS X, you don't have to worry about it. The big files don't get that fragmented. What happens is when you get very mixed file sizes, you can get more fragmentation. There is a very, you know, I mean, if you got enough drives, you probably should have this anyway. From Micromat, I don't know. You know, it's tech tool, and it's a great OS X defragger.
It's called Micromat.
Micro MAT is the company, and Tech Tool Pro is the program, and it will defragment it. So it's a good thing to have.
Do you have any suggestions for networks if we were to go and get a network, meaning one that will work with Windows and with OS X?
You mean Wi-Fi? You want to get wireless?
No, I mean like a server. I'm sorry, I used the wrong word. I guess a server where we can set up a network.
Like we were just talking about before with the big terabyte drive that Richard
like
was talking about. No, it's all agnostic. It doesn't matter. Once you get that's the whole beauty of network storage is Ethernet is the transport and doesn't care what the file system is hidden.
Okay.
So it doesn't matter.
And we'd be able to access it from both systems?
Mm-hmm. PC and Mac, completely compatible.
Okay.
Yep.
Very good.
Thank you, Lisa. Are you a photographer?
Well, I'm in the stock photography industry.
Oh,
yeah, we have a baby stock photography website, and we've got about 10,000 images and growing.
Wow, that's neat. What's the name of the site?
It's veryfineimages.com.
So if I need a picture of a baby, not my own, I go to veryfineimages.com and I download one.
You got it.
That's great. I was wondering when you started off, I have 15 to 20 external hard drives. I thought,
Yeah.
She's up to something.
We've got terabytes of data.
Holy moly.
And we're starting to get to the point where we absolutely need, you know, some sort of server. We don't know which direction to even go with that.
Oh, yeah. You need something pretty serious, frankly. I mean, I'm not qualified to recommend. It might be an X-Serve, might be a Mac X-Serve, but it might be something more powerful. I don't know.
Okay. Yeah.
I wouldn't want to put all those babies on my back. I'm not responsible. Thank you, Lisa.
Okay, thanks, Leo.
Take care. Leo Laporte, the tech guy, KFI AM 640, more stimulating talk radio.
It's your weekend. We just make it more stimulating.
KFI AM 640.
Leo Laporte, the tech guy, KFI AM 640, more stimulating talk radio. Let's see if we can get a squeeze in a little call here. One more call before the news at the bottom of the hour. Dawn in Bellflower. Hello, Dawn. How are you?
Hi, I'm great. Thank you. I'm sure you are aware of this, and I was just hoping you could kind of clarify for me what's going
sure.
on.
Okay.
When we boot up our PC, we started getting a message from Microsoft saying that our version of XP was not genuine.
Right.
And we bought it at Best Buy, you know, in the box a couple years ago, and installed it. And I thought at first that it was some kind of a hacker or a spyware or something. But I went to Microsoft's website, and it seems to be something that they're doing. They made me take a little test and said that it's not valid.
You didn't pass the test?
I did do the test.
And it didn't pass?
Oh, and I didn't pass, right.
And you bought the thing? I mean, you bought it and shrink-wrapped in a box?
Right. At Best Buy, and they're telling me that I can get a complimentary version or validation key if I have the CD and the copy of my receipt.
Like you're going to have that 3 years later.
Exactly. So I was just wondering if you were aware of this or knew what was going on. Or
Microsoft started this new thing, this Windows Genuine Advantage program,
yep.
where they validate your Windows before they let you download things. Now, you could still get patches. You can still get fixes, but you can't download things like the new DirectX or their, you know, free programs, Microsoft's anti-spyware, stuff like that.
So I was wondering how much...
You're not out of luck. I mean, you can still... I mean, is there anything you need that you're not able to get? Or are you just getting
Not right now.
No.
Just getting that message. And
yeah. I mean, you can still download the most important stuff, which is the critical updates.
Okay.
What it means is you can't... If you say, oh, I want to get Microsoft Defender, it's going to say, well, you didn't pass the test. I would call Microsoft and said, dudes, I bought this. Is there a problem here? Because I bought it. Do you have anything? Do you have the CD, anything at all?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We've still got the CD, but we just don't have the receipt.
Yeah. I think I would call Microsoft and say, what do you mean, the receipt? It's been 3 years, but I've got a genuine CD with a hologram on it. This is my copy of Windows. You guys screwed up.
Exactly.
Now, the truth is, you're not out of luck. It's not like it's going to stop running. Or anything
like that.
Well,
that's what I was wondering, if it was going to really mess things up.
No. It just means that there's some things you can't download. This is the problem with copy protection. It screws up honest people, to be honest with you. Mm-hmm. And it makes me mad. You probably don't have enough time. Does anybody have enough time to spend on hold with Microsoft trying to get this righted? But you could. If you had a few hours to spare.
Yeah, because I'm thinking, I mean, they're saying that it could be counterfeited. Now, I mean,
it's not.
Best
you didn't
Buy
get
really be counterfeiting?
No, and it's a bug in their system. That's all it is.
Okay.
It's not going to cause any big problem. It just means that you can't download any, you know, some of these free tools that they're offering. Now, someday Microsoft may flip a switch and have it stop working. They're completely capable of doing that.
Well,
but
they weren't too happy with me anyway when I started asking questions and trying to, like, chat with their advisor, and I have Firefox. So then
they don't like that?
No, jerks. Not at all.
I hate them. The other thing you could do is go to Best Buy and say, what's the deal here? I bought this, and it's giving me a genuine advantage issue. But you know, hold on to that disc with the hologram on it like it's gold, because that is a genuine version of Windows. And there's no way that's counterfeit. It has the, if you tilt it in the light, it looks kind of weird in a 3D hologram on the disc.
You know what? I'm not, I don't, I'm
look
not
at
it right now, so I can't.
They do that so that you
can't,
they do that so you can't copy them.
Okay.
That, so
I'll
that, that you know, if it looks like that, it's got that fancy kind of holographic label on it. That's a real disc. Leo Laporte, the tech guy, KFI, AM 640, more stimulating talk radio.
He's really easy to get along with once you learn to worship him. Bill Handel, the most listened to morning show in Los Angeles.
KFI, AM 640.
Leo Laporte, the tech guy, KFI, AM 640, more stimulating talk radio. Just a few more minutes, then it's Dr. Dean at 2 o'clock. The afternoon continues on your Memorial Day weekend. Dan in Bellflower. It's Bellflower Day on KFI. Hello, Dan. Welcome.
Hi, Dan. Hi, yeah, Leo. How are we doing?
Do you know Don?
Yeah, I don't, and I was going to ask you to patch me through.
Well, it's a small town.
So anyway, we're back to basics here, Leo.
Okay,
sorry
good.
To do this to you. But
no, don't. Please don't apologize. I think that's a, you know, that's a, what we do here.
I've got an older PC, and it gave me problems, and it boots up right back up into setup mode, and I can't get it to hold, and so I think maybe the battery's going out, you know, all these kind of things.
That's exactly what's wrong.
You think so? Oh,
yep.
Oh, great. I'm glad you confirmed that.
Yep. How old is the PC?
It's a 98SC.
Yeah. You see, the battery in that motherboard, which backs up all of the information about how the PC's configured, is a battery.
Mm-hmm.
Eventually, it dies. You can open up the PC. On some motherboards, they have these soldered-in batteries. I've never understood this. They're not replaceable. But most of them are watch batteries. They're those little circular lithium batteries.
Yep.
You can get them at Longs or Walgreens.
Well,
anyone,
I built the PC myself, and
I'm
happy with it.
Yeah.
And I almost hate to give it up, but when I see things like this happening, I just want to be kind of safe.
Yeah, so I would replace the battery, because what's happening is it keeps going to setup.
Sure.
Because it's empty.
Yeah, right.
Mm-hmm. It says, right. What am I? I don't know what I am.
Exactly, yeah. Well, anyway, I wanted to buy a new PC, or a new computer. Don't want to.
Well, that's
PC.
The other thing. This is an excuse, should you need one.
Yes.
To start over.
Exactly. But let me just real quickly tell you that I use the PC 50% of the time for Microsoft Office.
Okay.
And the other half of the time is used on the Internet as an information resource.
Got it.
And I use a computer every day. And
okay.
I am totally happy with what I have. It's old-fashioned dial-up modem and that kind of junk, but
wow.
That's okay. I'll go DSL and the whole thing.
Okay.
So I can handle all that real easy. It's just that I really need your help in giving me a suggestion on what to buy.
And you don't want to go Mac. You're a happy Windows user.
No, I'm not at all. I've heard you be so complimentary in the past about Mac, and
I am
no
a big fan
at all.
And I tell you why, in the home, because of this lack of spyware and viruses, but it's also more elegant. It's a very workable operating system. You will, of course, have to buy a new copy of Office, but, you know, you probably want to anyway. I mean,
sure.
If you're using Windows 98, it's probably a pretty old copy of Office anyway. Otherwise, surfing and everything else is going to be fine. There are a few things that Macs don't do very well. Online, but they're very few and fewer all the time, especially as more people use Firefox and more sites realize they can't design for Internet Explorer and Windows anymore. That it's a brave new world, and it's not all Microsoft Windows with Internet Explorer. So I think there are very few things you can't do. I do like it. I think it's more robust. You're a do-it-yourself kind of guy. You might actually like the Unix underneath it, which is very powerful. You've got a very, very powerful command line.
An
iMac sounds like it'd be a good choice for you. It's an all-in-one unit.
Okay, so iMac versus what?
Well, the only other choice really is a mini or a laptop.
No.
Yeah.
No,
now,
I
what
don't
you're
want
gonna,
a laptop, and I don't
yeah,
have any. So.
No, so I think an iMac is a good choice. Now, what you're not going to get is, you know, if you're a tinkerer, you like to open these things up. You built this last one. You don't want to? Okay.
No.
Then I wouldn't worry about it. You can add memory and you can add a hard drive, but there's not much else you can do.
So with the options that I have on iMac, what, just real roughly?
Let me go to the store. Let's see, and I'll just tell you the price. There really aren't that many options. There's essentially a 17-inch and a 20-inch.
Okay, 17.
And 17's big enough for you?
Sure.
And you're talking $12.99, and I think that's all you need.
Oh, my gosh. Okay.
Everything you need is in there. It's a 160 gig hard drive. It's 512 megs of RAM, which is plenty for what you're doing.
Oh, yeah.
It's got a DVD burner. Now, you may say, well, I'm not going to burn DVDs, but that's a good backup
meter. Oh, no, that's fine. Well, I would want that.
And you can watch DVDs, and it's a beautiful screen. It actually has a very good video card in it, and it's a 1.83 gigahertz Core Duo, so it's a very, you'll see immediately how much faster this is.
Oh, it's a Duo, huh?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, good.
I think that'd be a good choice for you, frankly.
You said to go to the store, so that means what now?
No, I just went online to the Apple Store, which is store.apple.com. But
okay.
you can buy it at an Apple Store. I don't know if there's one near Bellflower, but you can buy it. I just buy them online. I just go
buy
to apple.com.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. I really think you'd be very happy. I'm willing to take the chance. It's just more robust, frankly.
Mm-hmm.
It's a good looking computer. It just gets the job done.
Because of what I do, I have thousands and thousands of one or two page files, and just
okay.
tons of those. I
no
need
problem.
To basically do the conversion, and I'm assuming from what you're saying, it's going to be no problem.
There is no conversion at all. It reads and writes it's Microsoft Office.
Oh,
so
okay.
It will be as if nothing has happened at all.
Okay.
The only thing you'll do is you'll want to make a copy on a CD or something so you can bring it over.
Sure.
But it's a very easy thing to do. Even if you have thousands, you probably can get them on one or two CDs.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And that's it. I mean, you're going to buy, when you go online to buy it, there's a checkbox for add Microsoft Office. I would do that.
Now, one question that's really been bothering me, I would prefer to go to, I think, a hardware firewall and forget everything else. Is that a
yes.
good idea?
You know, there is a very good firewall built into the Mac. It comes with good firewall software. However, I generally do recommend a router. Especially, are you going to go to DSL?
Yes.
Yeah. The reason is the router does the PPPoE dialing that DSL providers these days like.
Okay.
And so you'll put the password and the login for your internet service provider in the router.
Sure.
Not in the Mac. And
okay.
that means the Mac just thinks it's on a network. It doesn't have to know any of that stuff. You don't have to put any software on it.
It's isolated.
I like doing that. I think it's better. And the router makes a very good firewall.
Now, will the router, do you think, at all degrade the system?
No.
No,
not at all.
No.
Oh, look, you're using dial-up. Dan, you don't even, it's going to be, the thing's going to be on fire. You're going to say,
know
whoa.
That. I know.
Oh, my gosh.
But, you know, I've had people sit down in front of my PC, and they'll use it, and they don't think it's dial-up. They think it's broadband.
Really?
Yeah. I have very, very little protection there, but I'm very, very selective in what I do with it and so
See,
forth.
See, that's
so.
The key. If with Windows, it slows down. If you start playing with it and adding stuff,
yeah.
it stays very reliable. And this is true of all computers. The
mm-hmm.
less you mess with them,
mm-hmm.
the more reliable they're going to be.
Exactly. Well, that's kind of the route I'd like to follow. So.
Yeah. No, I think, you could easily get a Windows machine and continue in your current path. But I think, it's just up to you. It's whether you want to get something that's a little bit slicker, a little bit more attractive. And you may find you discover new things that you can do or want to do. The thing has a built-in camera, so you can do video chats. It's got a remote control, so you can actually use it as a home entertainment device. You can watch DVDs on it and movies and so forth.
How does one learn OS if they've never, ever come even close to it?
You know, I think you know enough about computing that'll feel fairly comfortable to you.
Okay.
You'll say, well, there's no start button, but I can tell that, I run a program by clicking on the dock here.
Sure.
I think you're not going to have as much difficulty. Where people get in trouble with when they make the switch is just your expectations are different. You might say, well, where's the control panel? And then you click the Apple menu up at the top instead of the bottom, and you see system preferences. Oh, preferences. Hmm. And you look at them, and there's a mouse preference, and there's a sound preference. I guess these are the control panels. It's things like that. In Windows, when you want to close a window, you click in the upper right-hand corner. And the Mac, you click in the upper left-hand corner.
Okay.
It's simple little things like that. They can drive people crazy because your brain and your fingers are trained.
Sure.
But you're going to have a little bit of a discontinuity anyway going from 98 to XP. If you were going to make the switch, this would be a good time to do it.
I use XP all the time.
Oh, you are using XP.
Yeah,
okay.
I mean, I use it so I know I understand XP.
Well, I mean, I think you're sophisticated enough and obviously careful enough that a Windows machine would be fine, too. And you could save money by going to Dell and buying, a Windows machine. It probably costs you $800 instead of
$1,200. For other reasons, I think iMac might still be a good path.
I tell you, I meet very few people who are unhappy after making the switch.
Have you ever heard of a internals of iMac for a PC user, a book, something like that?
Yes, there's quite a few.
Wow. Okay.
My best recommendation is the Missing Manual, OS X, the Missing Manual by David Pogue. He's a very fun, accessible writer. It's not silly. It's just fun and light, and it's very good information.
Oh, great.
It's not specifically for Windows, although there's a chapter or two in there for Windows switchers. David is the computer columnist for the New York Times and is a Windows and Mac user. So because of that, I think more than most MacBooks, and by the way, I have an OS X Tiger book, and I probably should be recommending it, but I like David a lot, and I like his books. OS X, The Missing Manual, it's called.
And the last thing is P-O-E?
P-O-G-U-E, Pogue.
P-O-G-U-E. Oh, yep. Great. Oh, thanks a lot.
Yeah, I think he's a very good writer, and those are that's probably the best OS X book out there, even though I have one of my own.
I just wrote that down, OS Tiger, right?
Yep, OS X Tiger. It's the Missing Manual series.
Okay. Very good. Well, thanks
Dan,
again,
bless
Leo.
You. Enjoy your new computer. Call me in a couple of months after you've used it. Let me know what your experience
is. I definitely will.
I would appreciate that.
Thanks for the help.
Thank you for calling. Leo Laporte, the Tech Guy, KFI, AM 640. More stimulating talk radio. We're going to wrap this up with a mystery guest right after this. Stay right here.
Rush Limbaugh, tomorrow, 9 to noon.
KFI, AM 640.
Leo Laporte, the Tech Guy, KFI, AM 640. More stimulating talk radio. Got a couple of audio questions I'd like to get to. People who are asking questions on our website. It's a kind of a fun thing. If you go to my website, KFIAM640.com, and click my name, Leo Laporte, under shows, and then go to the official website, you'll see, which is leo.am for the shortcut purple people. Then you'll see up on the upper left-hand corner, send me an audio message. People record messages like this.
Hey, Leo, I love your show. I just thought I should let you know that WPA has been cracked, and you should check out the website that I sent you the link to here. Thank you very much.
He did send me a link, and I read it. Now, this is why this is a very important point. You've heard me say many, many times that if you have wireless networking, there's only one thing that matters, only one thing that makes a difference in protecting it. I mean, protecting it from people snooping on it, protecting it from people using your connection, protecting it from people hacking in. And that is, nothing matters. WEP doesn't matter. That's one of the things that's built in. That's been cracked. Hiding your ID doesn't matter. The only thing that makes any difference, and it's sufficient and adequate, is WPA encryption. You should turn that on. Now, it's very important when you do that you choose a good password. Long, random, if possible, password. In fact, my friend Steve Gibson has a password generator for these passwords at grc.com/passwords. And it's a very crazy number that he'll generate for you. And that's the thing to underscore. WPA has not been cracked. WEP has been cracked in the sense that it's misdesigned, and so that it's possible, regardless of how good your password is, to crack it, to break it. WPA doesn't have that flaw. It is a good encryption system. But as with any encryption system, if you have a lousy password and people can do what's called a brute force attack, but literally go through every possibility, eventually it'd be cracked. So if you have a short password or a password that's a dictionary word, I think people do this. But this is true not just for WPA. This is true for logging into your system or anything else. The easier it is to guess your password, the worse the password it is. The best passwords are random combinations of letters, numbers, and punctuation. Completely random and long. If you use that on WPA, it is completely secure. It's as secure as any other form of encryption or protection. If your password is good, if your password's bad, no form of encryption or protection works. So please understand when they say it's been cracked, it hasn't been cracked. Not in the same way WEP has been cracked. WPA is still a good and safe, in fact, the only way to protect your wireless network. But by all means, use a good password, which means 8 or more letters, 8 or more characters, a mixture of upper and lower case letters, numbers, and punctuation. If it's really random, you know, you do 12 truly random letters, numbers, and punctuation, nobody's going to crack it. I guess the point that is important is that they can capture it and crack it at their leisure. They can capture enough traffic from you and then go home and work on it for days, months, or years. But if you use a really good password, it will take them many more than just a few years to figure it out. All right, here's another question.
I listened to the broadcast last week and heard that you were going to get a new MacBook. So, presuming you've had a chance to play around with it, why don't you tell us what you think of it, please? And, most importantly, was black the correct color to get?
He asked that because black costs more, like $150 more. Yes, it was the correct color to get. Yes, I'm very happy with it. It's working great. It was a good choice. A couple of the things people didn't like about the MacBook, and I was worried about, were, yes, it costs $150 more for nothing more than a black paint. And there's some concern that black paint might chip off. Now, that I can't vouch for. And somebody told me that he went to a Mac, an Apple store, and saw that the black paint had chipped off around the battery. That might happen. That could happen. Nobody knows. And if you're worried about that, get a white one. They're cheaper, and we know that that paint won't chip. Because it isn't, you know, the paint is on the inside, not the outside. The other thing people were concerned about is heat. Yeah, it's hot, as are all PowerBooks. In fact, I suspect all Core Duo machines. I mean, look, think about it. You've got a dual 2 gigahertz processor in there. Of course it's hot. A lot of heat being generated. The question is it designed properly so that the heat's pumped off of it? And I think that they've fixed the overheating problems I think you saw with the MacBook Pro. It's hot. It's warm to the touch. Not burning, but it's hot. But I think that's normal in all modern notebooks. And I think the fans are doing the job. Finally, people were concerned about the... actually, not finally. Two things. The glossy screen and the keyboard. And I will vouch for both. The glossy screen's great. It looks fantastic. It's not hard to find an angle where it's not glary. It's not a particularly glary screen. And boy, in the right lighting, in dim air lighting, when you're watching a movie, it looks much better. And the keyboard I find great. It's a little weird looking, and it's recessed, and there's a space between the keys, but I think it's very good. In fact, I think it's a little bit quieter, so I like it. Thanks for the calls. Thanks for the questions, the comments, the suggestions on the webpage. I appreciate it. I'm going to be back next Saturday and Sunday, 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. to talk high tech with you. I am Leo Laporte, the tech guy on KFI AM 640. More stimulating talk radio. Dina Dell's next. Have a great weekend.
May 28, 2006.
Well, that's it for this edition of the Tech Guy on KFI. Thanks so much for listening. If you're ever in the Southern California area, I hope you'll listen live on the radio every Saturday and Sunday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. on KFI AM 640. You can also listen on the internet anytime at KFIAM640.com. Archives of older shows are available online on my website. That's leo.am. Click the audio archives button. And of course, you can subscribe to the podcast, which is leo.am/podcasts/KFI. My thanks to Howard Bailey for providing the theme music for this show. You can listen to Howard's music at soundclick.com. Thanks to DSL Extreme for providing the bandwidth. Of course, first of all, thanks to you for listening. I'll see you next time on KFI.